Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to meet the chaplains who minister for our troops both here and abroad on our annual Chaplains Christmas show. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Chaplains play an important role in our armed forces. Whether our service members are Christian, Muslim, Jewish, Buddhist, or any one of the hundreds of other faith traditions, our chaplain corps is ready to meet their spiritual needs. Embedded in units across the force, our chaplains advise our commanders and ensure the free exercise rights for all service members are upheld, including those who hold no faith tradition. Chaplain teams spiritually enlighten and rejuvenate our troops during the good times and console and heal us during the bad. They have answered a higher calling to their faith and to their fellow service members.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the open, today is our annual Chaplains Christmas show, and I have a special co-host in the studio, Jason Burley. Jason, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much. Great to be here, as always.
You get to join for one of my favorite shows of the year where we talk to our chaplain corps from the Minnesota National Guard. And today we have two very special guests in the show. We'll go with start with the Army since you were in the Army.
Sure.
We've got Chaplain Captain Hickory Smith with us from the Minnesota Army National Guard. Chaplain, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom, and thank you, Jason.
Yeah, welcome.
And you brought a special guest from the air side. Would you like to introduce him?
Sure, I'd love to. Chaplain Dan Pullyu, opposite of Push You, it's Pull You, as we were just talking earlier. He was actually my chaplain when I deployed to Bosnia. And so he's one of the reasons that I'm actually now a chaplain. But he got smart. He left the Army and went to the air. So that's...
So we have Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Pull You. Chaplain, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Always good to have a fellow airman on the show.
Well, thank you, Tom and Jason. It's good to be here, and it's good to be part of the Minnesota National Guard. Whether it's Air or Army, I'm glad to be here.
Jason, we've got quite a few services covered here. You started out in the Marines.
Well, yeah. we had this discussion yesterday with General Loydalt that the Marine Corps, the Air Force Reserve, which I think gets skipped from time to time, and then I went to the Army. So I was smart and joined the Air. And then questionable, but ended up in the greatest unit in the Army, the 34th ID.
Oh. And the last position you had was that of public affairs officer for the division.
I was. I was a division public affairs officer for some great commanding generals, General Osorio, General Loydalt. It was a great period of time to serve.
Well, chaplains, we wanted to ask you to come in today so that we could talk about our deployed troops, both on the Army side and the Air side. I know the deployments are quite different. The Army usually goes out in larger groups and for longer periods of time, and on the Air side, they sometimes go as individuals, or they go in smaller units and more frequently, but for shorter duration. And Chaplain Pullyu, since you're the ranking officer here, Chaplain, can you tell us how are our airmen doing?
You know, Tom, they are doing really well. The operations tempo just continues to be high. I think it was in 2017 was the first time that we didn't have anyone deployed over Christmas time during our award ceremony. And up until that time, during the entire global war on terror, we always had someone deployed. Even now, we continue that tradition. And the Air Force got smart early on in the war that they were always going to have a rotation that allowed us to be able to continue operations back in the state as well. So that's why we deploy in smaller units and don't take an entire wing at a time. So it makes it a little more challenging because we have to hand off of our own troops to chaplains and to other folks who are in the deployed settings. But overall, it's worked well over these years.
So wherever they deploy to, there is a chaplain, and they put together units from across the United States to put together the force that they need to do the mission.
Yes, exactly.
So there will be a chaplain there that's ministering to those troops while they're deployed.
Yes, at least one, and typically there's a team of chaplains and religious affairs assistants too.
And Chaplain Smith, our Army National Guard people go out in larger groups. We just got the division back, and now we've got the 34th ECAB down in Texas training, and they're headed over to Kuwait. But there's usually one or more chaplains out there to minister to the troops.
Yeah, there is. Each unit is assigned a unit ministry team with a chaplain and a religious affairs specialist or non-commissioned officer. And it's good to have that team effort and getting to be a part of that unit and be going forward and planning and preparing as we get at a cycle of deploying. And Minnesota has pretty consistently had deployments going. And so it's been great to welcome back the 34th Infantry Division, and with the ECAB, the Expeditionary Combat Aviation Brigade, going out the door with stuff. It's a bittersweet thing. It's getting to do your job. That's what we train for. And so there's some purpose and there's some meaning behind that. But then it's being away from home. And this time of year can be particularly hard for some people.
You know, you've had kind of a unique experience. You've been a senior NCO and now as an officer and a chaplain. What's the comparative and contrast for that in that unit chaplain team?
Yeah, so I started out as infantry, and then I went to be chaplain assistant. The name now changed to religious affairs, and it is different. It takes a transition to think about what the things that we focus on. So when we deploy, the chaplain is one of the or really the only person in the unit that doesn't have a weapon, doesn't have a gun.
You have the Bible.
But I have the Bible, yeah, right? Like, and each chaplain, if whatever faith group they come from, like that helps us in our identity and in our focus to care for the soldiers and the family members.
You know, Chaplain Pulliu, you have a kind of a unique situation, which you really represent the Joint Force. You're the Rear Detachment Chaplain for the 34th Combat Aviation Brigade, an Army unit. Do soldiers see you differently as an airman or as an Air Force officer?
Well, I think always when a chaplain steps into a role, they're going to be a little bit apprehensive about you because they're not sure what you're going to be like, and you got to earn your stripes a little bit. But the ECAB, I think I can use an acronym here, right?
Yes, sir.
Once after a while, they have been so welcoming, and Chaplain Toole is the chaplain who deployed with them, and he made it so easy that it's been relatively seamless for me, I think, to be able to step in and be a part of the unit. They've ingratiated themselves to me, and it helps if I can speak a little bit to some of the soldier issues, which are very similar to airmen anyways. And having a little bit of background I think maybe has helped me a little bit.
Yeah, the issues that service members face are typically the same, regardless of the branch that they're serving in.
Chaplain Pulliu, when you've been deployed a couple of times, when you're deployed and you're ministering to all of these troops, whether they're soldiers or airmen, how challenging is it to deal with the fact that there are a lot of different religions, that religious backgrounds?
Well, it can be a little bit of a challenge, but, you know, we've taken an oath to uphold the United States Constitution, which offers a free exercise of religion, and so we're going to stick to that very much. I was also a federal prison chaplain for 20 years, so the spectrum of different religions in the military is much more narrow than it was in the federal prisons, and so as long as somebody's really trying to practice their religious faith, we're going to do everything we can to help them out. The most challenging thing is to be able to stay on top of what the actual needs are. And sometimes there are going to be low-density religions that we might have to go quite a ways to help them with. But for the most part, it's been pretty easy, and it's usually been onesies and twosies of people who need it. And as long as they give us enough time to prep it, if they have a holiday season coming up or another religious accommodation, we've been able to handle that.
Chaplain, we've heard some commanding officers say that they've got a couple of things that are important on deployment. Number one is we got people to take care of the equipment. But number two, we have to have the chaplain's corps there to take care of the soldiers and the airmen.
That's our intent, and we are there to assist the commander with his religious program. So, absolutely.
Sure. Chaplains, it's great to have you with us, and we're going to take you into the next segment as well. You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. This is your co-host, Jason Burley, along with our executive host and producer, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking to Chaplains Hickory Smith of the 2 of the 135 Infantry and Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Pulliu of the 133rd Airlift Wing. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your co-host, Jason Burley, along with Tom Lyons. And today we're speaking with the chaplains of the Minnesota National Guard, Chaplain Captain Hickory Smith of the Minnesota Army National Guard, and Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Pulliu of the Minnesota Air National Guard. Welcome back, gentlemen.
It's good to be here.
Chaplain Smith, we were talking about ministering to those that are deployed, and we've taken the show over to Kuwait a couple of times and talked to the soldiers over there, and it seems like they get into what they call a battle rhythm. They know what time they're going to get up every day. They know when they're going to work out, when they're going to run, when they go to chow, when they're going to do their job. And every day is kind of you're doing the same thing over and over again. They know what kind of to expect, don't they?
Yeah, they usually do, especially in the planning and prep. It's that type of environment. And it all depends on the mission that they get, of course. But, that battle rhythm. And it's really important to have that sense of battle rhythm to kind of get through it sometimes. It could drag for some people. I know some people complained about that. But the battle rhythm could be an important thing. Now contrast that to families back home, that their battle rhythm looks way different.
Because you don't know what's going to happen from day to day.
Well, right, yeah.
Get the kids to school, do the shopping, furnaces break down, things happen. And they're without a loved one who's deployed, and they have to deal with it. Thing that is different today from when I was over in Vietnam 48 years ago is technology means you're in contact with that soldier or airman that's deployed. And if there is a problem back home, that can be a big distraction. And if they're on an important mission, we got to keep them focused.
It can. That can be really hard. And that's where it's important to have chaplains and the support of the peers and other people around to deal with that. And choosing what can we do to bridge that link back and forth? How can the people back home be taken care of? And how can we take care of the soldier that's out needing to do the mission? So you're right. It's a key piece that we're intentionally looking at when as chaplains.
Captain Pulliu, before the airmen or soldiers are deployed, they have meetings with their families so the families know if they need some help where they should go. Can you tell us what that process is?
Well, sure, Tom. Sometimes the process is partly sometimes it's with the warrior, and that's part of our regular training. But then also we'll call families in through the family readiness groups or through some other yellow ribbon events that will help them to think through, particularly if they're first time deployers or. Of course, every deployment is going to be different. So we'll talk about communication issues, how we're going to handle other difficulties as they might come up. For instance, the technology is kind of a two-edged sword. In the one sense, it's handy and good to be able to have those conversations. On the other hand, sometimes families don't always think on one side or the other, or the warrior may not even think about what kind of impact their words can have over a long distance. And you want to try mesh the worlds, but you don't want to try to be a problem in whether it's somebody going out and facing a mission or maybe on the other side, if you had a bad day and you've been deployed and you're trying to talk to people at home, have you thought through how you're going to be presenting those kinds of things? So those are the kinds of things we teach.
Chaplain, I've thought about that quite a bit because when I was in Vietnam, we learned about back home by letter. Mm-hmm. Or if the Red Cross got a hold of us and told us something was wrong.
Yeah.
It was pretty easy to focus on the mission because back home was so far away and you didn't have the updates. Seems to me like it's a little more complicated now, maybe tougher on the troops.
Yeah, it can be. And that's why it takes a little more care in the way that you communicate. For instance, I recommend that if it's a business thing, maybe do it over email, save the telephone calls for the more personal discussions and maybe think through them before they even step into those conversations. So it has to be more intentional because we do have so much more flexibility.
We're speaking with Chaplain Smith from the Army National Guard and Chaplain Pulliu from the Air National Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. And Jason, we see it back here. There's a lot of resources available to help the families. Yellow Ribbon Programs, Minnesota Military Family Foundation, State of Minnesota does a pretty good job. And I know you're involved in some of those things.
Yeah, I mean, there's certainly a lot of resources. One of the questions that came to my mind is, you know, as a commander, my chaplain was a great religious support advisor for me, not just on drill weekend. We've been talking about deployment here, but whenever I needed to reach out, the unique part about the Guard is that we're small units and families. Do you spend a lot of time ministering or supporting soldiers between drills and outside of deployment?
Yes. We're very intentional about how we do that. For instance, my unit, I intentionally try to go to multiple armories during a drill weekend because it could be very geographically spread out. The 2135, of which I'm a part, has six armories. So trying to get to all those soldiers can be a hard thing. One of the ways that we try to help support both the soldiers and the families is a program through the chaplaincy, Strong Bonds. And so Strong Bonds is really a command-owned but chaplain-led voluntary relationship-based program. And we can do it in the form of weekends, like weekends away, where people can just relax a little bit more and focus on the relationships. Most often that's in the marriage relationship, but also sometimes we have ones with the kids and the family because that adds that added complexity. But then at the unit level, we try to teach relationship-based skills because those are the things that can sustain a soldier and help keep them resilient, especially when they're deployed in an environment where we want to have that base and that stability going on.
Yeah. Chaplain Pulley, the amount of resources that are out there is fantastic, you know. And as you think of the chaplaincy, there's a few of you and there's many of us. How do you connect them with the, you know, tremendous amount of resources that are out there at the family assistance centers and all the other resources that are available to soldiers and airmen?
Yeah, we spend a lot of time handing off resources, like with the airmen Family Readiness Center, in the Air Force, and then of course the Family Assistance Centers and Family Readiness Groups, and all the veterans groups. A lot of even active soldiers in the Minnesota Guard and Airmen are eligible for a lot of the VA programs and veterans programs. So we're constantly keeping a network of people that we do hand off those kinds of needs to. We also work with the local churches some. One of the things we do for ministry oftentimes is we are encouraging people to participate in their local congregations, whether it's church or synagogue or whatever local places that they have that they can be supported and supportive in the community. And we'll do a lot of counseling and we'll make a lot of friends and we'll serve on some special things. But we want to make it a team effort both with community as well as with other military resources.
Chaplain Smith, one of the things I've wondered about is when your soldiers or airmen go off on deployments, you know, the family, you know, has a tough time being separated. But if you're gone for a year, as in the case of a lot of Army, and you come home, the family's learned how to live on a day-to-day basis without that deployed airman or soldier. And there's got to be a time period that it takes to get used to being back part of that family unit. I'm sure that situation comes up and you have to help with that quite often.
That is a very real aspect of the reintegration process. And it can be hard for a soldier that has deployed and knowing what they're doing, they have a specific role set that get their sense of purpose and meaning from that often, and then coming back to those relationships that were the loving relationships usually, but refilling a role, kind of being awkward and, wait, what's my role here when I'm coming back home? What are my tasks again?
And the family saying, who are you?
Yeah, right. Like, you can't just dive back in. So it can definitely be a challenge.
Jeff and Pulley, that can even happen on short deployments, I'm sure.
It can happen on short deployments and multiple deployments because each time it's different. I remember one time I had when I came back from Bosnia with the Army, we had a dog when I just left, and I grew up on a farm, so the dog's never even gotten a house. I come to my fourth place in the table where my two daughters, young daughters, and my wife sat down, and the dog jumped up in my seat. And I remember thinking, even to this day, where do I fit in here?
Even the dog knows you. Who is this guy?
Chaplains, it's been great speaking with you. You're listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. This is your host, Jason Burley, along with Tom Lyons. We're speaking with Chaplain Hickory Smith and Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Pulley from the Minnesota National Guard. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your co-host, Jason Burley, along with our executive producer and host, Tom Lyons. Today, we're speaking with chaplains of the Minnesota National Guard, Chaplain Captain Smith of the Minnesota Army National Guard, and Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Pulley of the Minnesota Air National Guard. Gentlemen, welcome back.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Gentlemen, I want to get into a little deeper subject for a minute or two here. I think everybody that listens to the show is aware that on December 5th, we lost a Black Hawk helicopter to a crash here in Minnesota, and we lost three soldiers. And the whole state's been watching that in mourning, and I know the National Guard's been in mourning, but things happen. We've got 12,000 soldiers and 2,000 airmen, and they're not always on duty. A lot of them, most of them, it's a weekend a month and 2 weeks in the summer, plus deployments. And this was a terrible tragedy to lose three of them on duty. But what is the process when there's a tragic accident, when we lose somebody, somebody's critically injured? I know we have casualty assistance officers, and of course we got the chaplain corps, thank God. What's the first thing that you do, and what's the process? How do you help the families?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I got to tell you before I answer that even, that I have been so humbled with the privilege of being able to serve in this kind of context. Watching, I've been able to be involved in the middle of all of this, and I have seen the families and the communities and the Guard family and the entire military and the international community really has been supportive of everything that we've done. So it's been just a fantastic experience in the middle of the tragedy. Typically what we do is when we get a notification that someone has passed away or that there's been an accident, a casualty notification officer will team up with a chaplain and go out and make notification that someone has died. And the chaplain is there for support. The notification officer has to do the hard work and actually give the notification. When that's done, the chaplain may stay there for a while until they have some other spiritual support or family members, and then they both leave. Ideally, then, shortly after that, probably within 24 hours, a casualty assistance officer will then come and will link up with the family and start a long-term relationship of working through all of the details that they need, everything from funeral arrangements to whatever benefits they have coming to them from the military. And a chaplain, if they're available and it's appropriate, will go out with them too, and that'll be a different chaplain, and establish a longer-term relationship with them.
Chaplains, we had Ken Drevnik and his wife on the show over the years several times, and of course we lost his son over in Kuwait, or it was Iraq, I believe, and he told the story of what happened. Excuse me, and he said doorbell rang early in the morning, and he came downstairs. And there was a side window on the door, and he saw two uniformed officers standing outside, and his heart dropped to his feet. He knew something happened. So families kind of understand that there's something terrible has gone wrong, but how tough was it on the chaplains and on the officer that has to make notifications? That's got to be some of the hardest duty there is.
Like Chaplain Pohl, you said, the chaplain, the notification officer, really does have a heavy, significant, sacred duty. And it can be hard. And so renewing and making sure they're trained up and calling on those people at the odd hours of the day that are able to pick up that baton, essentially, and take on that sacred duty. So it can be hard for them. But it's amazing to see that community that comes together around. And what's particularly, I think, poignant is in this season, the firsts that people experience in their grief. It's nice to celebrate firsts with kids, and they're like first walking, first words, and stuff like that. But as parents, when their kids pass on before them, for instance, that's a really hard thing. But as a community around, not celebrating or mourning the first Christmas without their loved one, and the first time for some of the soldiers for the aviation unit getting back on a bird, a helicopter, that can be an intimidating time. First time walking back into a room, first time seeing and being in uniform, So that's, I think, something that's really good to recognize within the grief process of going through. And so chaplains are there to help with the heaviness and the comfort when we are able.
We're speaking with Chaplain Captain Hickory Smith and Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Pulliu on Minnesota Military Radio. Chaplain Pulliu, you were shaking your head and up and down.
Yeah.
Are the chaplain's corps, do you know all the resources available? Can you help them make plans for the funerals? Can you? There's all kinds of assistance out there, but families are having grief when that happens.
Yeah, and we are part of the team that really actually helps with all of those. The guard family really pulls out all stops to help families with, you know, we can fit in with bereavement, with funeral planning, memorial services, and ongoing meet ongoing needs as they come up. But a lot of the details, really, we got to give credit to the rest of the guard, and we just get to be part of that team. I was thinking of the notification officers and some of the kind of – it's a strange bond that they get with that family because a family will never see them again, hopefully. That's part of the intention, because if there's any anger or negative emotions involved, we want to take those away with that first uniformed officer. But oftentimes that person has had – it's been such a profound thing. I've been with on notifications where the sergeant has said to me, I'd rather be shot at. And they had been shot at in their life. And I believe them. They would prefer that.
Yeah. You know, I've had the unwanted duty and honor of being both a CNO and a casualty assistance officer. And it's tough, right? It's tough duty. It's honorable duty and it's required. And I know what I felt, and that I could lean on you guys, the chaplains. Mm-hmm. Who do you guys lean on? Because you're experiencing those same events and those same traumatic events. How do you support each other?
Well, I can tell you just the other day when we were going through the middle of this, it was one of the gratifying things was, first of all, we would have many phone conversations. Chaplain Wynn was involved, and Chaplain Smith was were back here, and I was driving around doing some things, and we were checking on each other. And then some of the other chaplains who were involved were asking. And other members of the team, several people sat me down in the middle of this over the course of several days and said, okay, where are you going? Who are you going to? And when have you slept? Those kinds of things. And so I was really pretty encouraged by many people who were concerned about one another. And it reminded me to be asking others as well.
Mm-hmm. I think while it can be draining at times, it can also be feeding and helpful to go through the grieving process with. Talking through helps dissipate it. And I have relied on Chaplain Pulliu. I've relied on other chaplains, and we say, hey, chaplain, who's your chaplain? And we want to find someone that's outside that we can trust, that we can go to, because we need that. And we in Minnesota truly have some great support on the other side of things as well. Behavioral health officers, the psychological health coordinators, for instance. I had a long conversation with Darlene Wetterstrom, for instance, about some things that helped me a lot. And so we continue to talk throughout, whether that's formal counseling or whether that's just those informal little things where you can do proper good self-care, things where you go home.
That's a great question. We found out who ministers the chaplains. They minister to each other and provide mutual support.
Yeah, just a little bit like us.
Yes, sir.
I get plenty of support from Tom, and I certainly appreciate it. So, you gentlemen, you know, it's great work. It's hard work. Sometimes it's unheralded work, and it's unrecognized. So, first of all, thank you for how you've chosen to serve and what you do for not only the airmen and the soldiers of the Minnesota National Guard, but for your communities at large. You've been listening to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your co-host, Jason Burley, along with our executive host and producer, Tom Lyons. We've been speaking with Chaplain Captain Smith and Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Pulliu. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Minnesota Military Radio Hour. I'm your co-host, Jason Burley, along with Tom Lyons, And we're speaking with the chaplains of the Minnesota National Guard. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
During the holiday season of giving and sharing, we at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs express our heartfelt thanks to our veterans and the men and women in uniform who continually protect us. This is a wonderful time of year and another great opportunity to reflect on our mission of caring for veterans and their families. Best wishes for a wonderful holiday season and a new year of health and happiness. The best part of the season is remembering those who make the holidays meaningful. Join me as I take a moment to remember the families who are missing a veteran or service member this holiday. Holiday season. Happy holidays.
Thank you, Commissioner. Welcome back. We're having a great conversation with the chaplains of the Minnesota National Guard.
We are, and I look forward to the show every year. And you know, one of the rules in the show, this is a weekend Minnesota Military Public Affairs program. And it's not like most of the Sunday morning programs where they're religious programs, those kind of things, but once a year we let him up, and we have a chaplain here. Usually it's Chaplain Wynn, and this year, both of you, Chaplain Puglio and Chaplain Smith, thank you for joining us today. But now it's time. We're going to let you pretend this is a Sunday morning religious show, and we're waiting to hear the Christmas message you have for us and our listeners all over Minnesota. Captain Chaplain Hickory Smith, you're on.
And how many hours do we have? Sorry. No, I understand. Thank you for the opportunity. It is a blessed season as a whole, and the season where we celebrate a lot of things. It's a season of celebration and gifts, and often we can focus on the material side of things a lot. But I want to focus on maybe some of the immaterial, our encouragement towards thinking of the immaterial. Giving material gifts is a great thing, but wanted to go further than that. We're celebrating a lot of different, like say Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, Christmas, and if people aren't even celebrating just the holiday of Christmas as a whole and the new year, new things. My family, how we celebrate Christmas, I come from a Christian background, and we celebrate Christ as I'm a Christian and Christmas. And for us and for me, the gift of Jesus coming to earth, the child coming humbly, coming in lowly estate, coming in innocence, coming in some sense of vulnerability, that's something to remember, that side of the gift, less the material side. And so that Jesus grew up and gave his life. He lived for others and he sacrificed. He had a sacrificial death. So no matter what background you come from, what faith background, I do want to encourage us to think and look towards the immaterial in how we give. And so that could be love, joy, peace, right? Now that's a common theme that we have in our for the Christmas season. And so just thinking about give the gift of love, give the gift of relationship with the people around you, give the gift of joy. You know, Christmas season can also be a season of stress, a lot of stress sometimes, or if you're competing for the right gifts, or if you're not getting what you wanted, or if that loved one isn't with you, that this is one of the first, second, thirds, or onward that loved one's not with you. But give the gift of joy. It said a smile is contagious. And joy goes beyond happiness. It goes to a contentedness, and it's contagious. So that's a reminder for us there. And then peace. There's one of the songs that says, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. I really like one of my favorite songs. And then peace on earth, goodwill to men. So that's an encouragement for us to think about love, joy, and peace, that we can give that as gifts to others. With that, I'd invite people to pray, and I want to give a prayer and a blessing for us here. Great God, I thank you for the time to celebrate in this season. So many things that we can celebrate. I pray that you'd help us not take things for granted. We'd focus on the right things. And as there are some times of sadness, I pray you would help give comfort. As there are plenty of people that don't have their loved ones around them. And it's a time of want as well. I pray that you be with those that are deployed further and in harm's way, and I pray that you be with the families at home. And I also thank you that we live in an area where we have freedom. We have a lot of freedoms that have been fought for. I pray that you would help us as we look around to the world around us, that we would be able to help spread that love, joy, and peace, that we would focus on that, the immaterial aspects of things, the things that can endure. And I thank you for the example and the gift of Jesus in my life. In your name we pray, Lord. Amen.
Chaplain Smith, thank you very much for that Christmas prayer. And Chaplain Smith and Chaplain Pulliu, it's been just an honor and a pleasure to have both of you in the studio today. And I wish you both a Merry Christmas and all the best in taking care of our troops and their families.
Thank you so much, Tom.
Thank you, gentlemen. Really appreciate you being here today. And from that message, I just extend my thanks for the gift of your friendship, Tom, and mentorship. And happy holidays and Merry Christmas to everyone and to both of you gentlemen as well.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Tom.
Joining me now is Greg Peterson, who is the Brown County Veteran Service Officer and the President of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. And Greg, nice for you to stop by the studio today so close to Christmas.
It is. It's real nice to be here, and it's a nice day outside, too.
Well, we didn't get caught in the snow this time, but it's good to see you face to face. We want to talk today about some presumptive diseases. And, of course, in my world, I think about exposure to Agent Orange. And if you were on the ground in country, and then they presume that if certain diseases, if you have them, it was due to that exposure. But
that's right. Yeah. You know, there's normally three requirements to get service connection. It's a disability or a diagnosis. Something happened in service, doctor ties it together. But with presumption, you only need two of the elements, the disease and whatever the presumption is. In your case, you were stationed in Vietnam.
And so when I came down with diabetes, then it was fairly easy to file a claim and get the VA to take care of that my health that it needs for that disease.
That's right. Now we're moving into the Blue Water Vietnam guys, and they are all now, by law, presumed to have had the Agent Orange exposure. So the word presumption seems pretty simple and straightforward. It just means an idea that's taken to be true.
And, of course, we're thrilled that as of the first of the year 2020 that our Navy veterans are going to be covered, those that were out in the Blue Water Navy as opposed to the Brown Water that were in the rivers and things. So, but let's get into this presumption. What's the definition of that, and how does it work?
Well, as I said, it's the definition is just presumed to be true, an idea that's true. So the VA presumes that certain diseases, if you were in certain areas, like we said, Vietnam or Thailand or Korea with the Agent Orange, you have the disease. The VA just simply presumes you were exposed. But there's some other more obscure presumptions that I'd like to get to today if we could. And that would be the presumption for multiple sclerosis. A lot of veterans don't know this. If they get diagnosed with multiple sclerosis, they just think, you know, well, it's just part of their life or what they're going to be put up with. But if they got the diagnosis within 7 years of their discharge of military service, the VA presumes that the symptoms were present when they were in the military, and they can receive VA disability compensation for that.
Now, Greg, for most of us, if we have a presumptive disease and it's related to Agent Orange, there's no time limit that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
Why is there a time limit on MS?
That's a good question. I don't know if I can answer that. There's another disease that has no time limit ever in your lifetime, and that would be Lou Gehrig's disease. But when I brief a young person that's coming out of the service, I'll go through different presumptions and stuff, and I'll tell them, and even if you get diagnosed with MS within 7 years, come back, because we will get you service connected for that.
So if they come back, and or if they do come to you and it's been 8 years, they're just out of luck?
No, well, if it's been 8 years since their diagnosis, but if they have a diagnosis on the books within the first 7 years, and MS is a little screwy that way. sometimes there's a what they call a cluster of symptoms. People might be off balance for 6 months, and it goes away, and it doesn't come out again.
So the important thing you're saying here is if you see a doctor and they've said MS, if that's within the 7 years and you can prove it, then you might have a chance.
Right. And so for the people that are listening today, you might have been diagnosed with MS 20 years ago, but you were out of the service at the time only 3 years. Bring that diagnosis into us, and we will apply for disability for you, VA disability, which is a monthly tax-free check.
And, of course, as always, if you have any issues related to the time you served in the military, go see your county veteran service officer.
That's right.
Greg, thanks for being with us again today.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to all of Minnesota's veterans and their dependents, and have a Happy New Year.
Thank you, Greg. Jason, we just got about 30 seconds left. You were sitting in the hot seat today. Are you getting the hang of it?
It was warm, but it went off, I think, pretty well.
It's always great to talk to the chaplains, isn't it?
It's a beautiful show. I mean, it's the greatest time of the year, and it's one of my favorite shows as well.
Well, I want to wish you a Merry Christmas. Thank you for joining us. And for all our listeners out there, Merry Christmas. Have a blessed season, and thanks for listening to us on Minnesota Military Radio.
Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and all the best to every listener and veteran out there.
And Jason will be back soon. Thank you. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Chaplain Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Pulliu, Chaplain Captain Hickory Smith, Greg Peterson, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week for our Year in Review show with the Commissioner Larry Herkey and Major General John Jensen. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.